This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Dee Mason from Dano and Mason, Joy 94.9's Thursday Drive team. There is something I absolutely love about presenting on Joy, and that is getting the opportunity to interview exceptional talented people from all over, but I really just have never had quite as much fun as I had chatting to Alid Jones, the famous Welsh singer and TV personality. Virginia Lovett is in this interview with me, so that's the other voice you'll hear because Dano is indisposed. I think you'd be able to get the sense of just how much fun we had with Alid. If somebody had told me that interviewing a child star, choral singer, choir boy was going to be quite as much fun, I wouldn't have believed you. He's a perfect gentleman and a true talent, and hugely good fun. You can catch him, if you're quick, at the Melbourne Recital Centre on October the 4th. He has a new album out. It's called One Voice. We played two tracks from the album here. We have a special Danny Boy edition right at the end. I hope you enjoy this conversation with both Big Alid and Little Alid Jones, and that gag's going to make sense halfway through. Enjoy. There we go. Nobody can really think about the traffic, though, because we have a very special guest in the studio, live, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alid Jones.
Ow. Thank you very much. Applause as well.
I know.
You guys make a lot of noise.
So many people in here.
That's magic.
Three cooped up ladies are going to make a lot of noise, and I bet you know all about that, Alid Jones. For those who are listening on Joy 94.9 with Daniel Mason, it is 5:05 in the afternoon this beautiful Thursday. Alid Jones, to my mind, is a young boy.
Thank you.
Yes. Alid is Welsh, of course, by birth, and was a huge deal in the, I'm going to say, 90s?
80s.
Get out. Yeah, you've kept your boyish looks, haven't you?
Thank you very much. You smooth talker. They tell me this is how you start every interview.
That's right. Not with Virg.
We've got great faces for radio, but you
know, that's what he does tell you as well.
Yeah, exactly. I like the way she dragged you lot in as well. That's harsh.
But dude, is it true you recorded 16 albums as a young chorister?
Yeah, in 4 years.
In 4 years. And then you dropped your Ghoulies and they sacked you.
Exactly. That's my life in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's right. Two nutshells.
Boom, tish.
Yeah, that's more or less it. And then I went off to college, Royal Academy of Music for 3 years, Bristol Ovic Theatre School for 2 years, and then started again.
Yeah.
It's been good fun.
But now, Virg and I were talking about you before you arrived.
Which, quite frankly, is rude.
Yes, a little bit rude. It was off air, though.
But you were listening to us in the toilet.
You said you wouldn't tell anyone that. I washed my hands, everyone.
Yeah, salacious.
I sort of was interested to know when your voice does break.
Yeah.
Do you, can you still sing in tune?
Like, yeah, no, you can't. Well, it's in the lap of the gods whether you get a voice that you can perform in front of the public.
You're going to have to take talk away from the lap area because with the...
Yes, okay, of course.
Nutshells.
But basically what happens is, you know, it happens to everyone unless you get a very uncomfortable operation. And I knew it was going to happen, but I knew I'd sing again, whether I'd sing professionally or whether I'd sing in the bath or whatever.
Right.
It wasn't my decision. So I've been very lucky that the voice has come back and I've been able to sing again.
But do we still make castrati?
I don't think so.
I think it's illegal.
Yeah. I wasn't actually lying when I said it was threatened on me. Do you ever see Santa Claus the movie with Dudley Moore?
Yes, of course.
Well, there's a boy that sounds like very much like a girl in the beginning of it. Well, that boy is me singing.
Right.
Every Christmas Eve, we are part of a miracle. And Henry Mancini, who wrote the Pink Panther, was in the session and he just shouted, "Get the knife, I'll do the operation myself." And as a 13-year-old, I was slightly concerned, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I looked over at my mum going, "I think it's time to leave."
Well, indeed. And from what I understand, your parents weren't your sort of helicopter parents, were they?
No.
You were pretty much a lone wolf.
I'm an only child. I'm from Anglesey in North Wales. You know, we probably got electricity about 7 years ago. Mum was a primary school teacher, dad an engineer. And, you know, now when I look back, because they were younger than I am now, when they were having to take me every weekend all over the place, and dad just wanted to be in the garden or fishing or something like that, you know, so they gave up so much to let me do my thing. And I'm really thankful to them, actually.
Yeah, and there would have been no, like, you were hanging out with grown-ups for your entire, so for what, 12 to 15?
12
entirely.
To 16, yeah. Wow. Four mad years singing in the Hollywood Bowl, singing in Bob Geldof and Paul Yates' wedding, singing with Leonard Bernstein.
Just back it up.
Okay.
Bob Geldof's wedding and Paul Yates. So it was around that time.
Yeah.
So that is the 80s.
There's a photograph of the wedding with, you know,
George Michael. George Michael would have been there.
Yeah, mid-year. I'm standing behind David Bowie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And you knew who they were.
Of course I did. I'd watched them all on Top of the Pops. So I was a little geek going around going, can you sign this? My mum got kissed by George Michael. She didn't wash for about a week, you know. It was a big thing.
But you washed, just to be clear.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
I wash all the time,
yeah,
as you know.
Yeah, that's right. yes, I've heard. Hey, I was watching the one. I was actually happened to be researching you, and I was
Thanks for doing that, by the way.
Thank you. And a news item came up, and it was the the Red Nose Day, which is huge in the UK.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French did a bit called Almost Carpool Karaoke.
Right.
Are you familiar with the bit they did?
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah.
And they it's based on James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. Dawn's driving the car. She picks up Jennifer Saunders. Jennifer Saunders gets in, and she goes, "Who are you?" And she says, "Well, I'm Welsh." And then she tries to guess which Welsh person is. She goes, "Oh, you're Tom Jones. No. Oh, you're Alad Jones. No. Oh, you must be Ruth Jones." And I thought, well, that is hilarious because they're the only three Welsh performers
more
I know.
More or less, I think. Yeah, or Catherine Zeta.
Oh, yes.
There's always Catherine Zeta
Shirley
as well.
Shirley Bassey's Welsh,
so
isn't
all
she?
Yeah,
but she's not Jones,
she's
is
not
she?
Called Jones.
She's not Jones, oh, right.
Verge's new.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bit slow.
Do you know what? Dawn French comes to a lot of my concerts in the UK. She's a fan, which I'm so proud of because I think she's amazing. But they used me on one of the highlights of my career as a kid anyway was they used me on Vicar of Dibley. And they were saying that Songs of Praise, which I present, I know you get it over here, was coming to the village. And they were trying to explain who was coming along. And she said, sings with a high voice. And all his business, and then she went, "He's testicularly challenged." So thank you very much for that.
But is Jones as common as muck?
Of course. Yeah. And we're all related.
Yes.
Tom's my dad.
Yeah.
Sister Catherine.
And it ended up being, of course, Bonnie Tyler.
Of course it did.
Yes, of course.
Totally eclipse of the heart.
My knowledge of Welsh culture comes entirely from Gavin and Stacey.
Well, that's all you need to know, really.
And listening to Welsh male choirs from my grandfather's record collection.
And there are so many Welsh choirs in Melbourne and Sydney. Yeah. I remember doing an interview here the first time I came, 2003, and I said, "Oh, I'd love to do a concert with a Welsh male voice choir." And four rang up in 20 minutes.
Right,
it was just... crazy. I'm from North Wales, though, not South Wales, where Gavin
Barry
Stacey.
Island.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. So we're more poetic in North Wales.
Right. Okay. And, but the singing thing is a big deal.
You do it from when you can walk. I remember being in primary school, and even we'd start the day with the headmaster playing the guitar or piano, hymns, all that business, and then every lesson, maths, geography. We got a song, and you're encouraged to perform from the age of sort of 6, 7, or 8. We have these things called Eisteddfods, which are like arts competitions. Mm. So you either recite, you dance, or you sing. I was hopeless at reciting and dancing, so I did the singing thing. But it's brilliant.
Why is that in Wales? Why is it so?
I don't know. It's always been that way. We've always been encouraged to perform, I suppose. Mm. And even going back to when I used to go and tell my granddad or, uncle that they had to come home from the pub, there was always a song. There was always somebody singing around the piano or...
I suppose it's because Irish do too,
Yeah, they do.
So
yeah.
It was,
Apparently they say that the cleaner the air, the wider your vowel sounds and the more you want to just go for it.
Right, And the bigger your lungs, presumably.
Yeah.
Hey, you have a new album out, Alad Jones, called One Voice.
Yes.
And the thing that grabbed me about this album, because I'm familiar with your singing, but this one is it's a really special story, and it's one that you think... tell us the story about how this recording came about.
Well, it's called One Voice, but there's actually two voices on it. It's the first time it's ever been done in the world where the same person is singing with two voices. So you get me at the age of 15 along with me at the age of 46. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to say you don't look it, but thanks.
Well, we already did that bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought we could lie again. Come on. We're doing it in front of people now, aren't we? But so what happened, I went back to North Wales to see my mum and dad and my wife, a couple of kids. And we were talking about how many albums I'd released as a child. And I said, 16, of course. It's out there, in print. And my dad said, no, it's actually 17 because an album was never released because your voice had broken. And I was what are you talking about? And he went, I've got it in the airing cupboard. I thought, no more wine for dad.
Yeah.
Off he went and brought out this DAT tape, again, dates me. And on it was an album of folk songs that I'd recorded when I was 15 and a half. Voice had broken, so they hadn't released it. It had been there in between my Spider-Man pants and socks for 30 years. My mum never gets rid of anything. So I listened to it with mum crying. I wasn't. But it was the first time, I suppose, I'd acknowledged that part of my life. Mm. You know, a lot of water had gone under the bridge. So I could look back and think of it as another person, but also for the first time feel proud about what I'd done. Mm. And so it sat with me for about 6 months and I thought, no one's ever done this before. Let's give it a go. And we went to the studio. First track we recorded, Eriske Love Lilt. And there's a moment when both voices sing together. And the producer and I just stopped, looked at each other through the glass. And he said, did you feel that? And I said, first time in my life, this is album number 31 for me, that every hair on my arm was standing on end, neck. And he said, exactly the same for me. Mm. And last year in Britain, you know, it was number one for 16 weeks, number three in the pop chart, which is ridiculous. And yeah, it was... Even though I've been singing since I was 12, it was probably the greatest year for singing for me.
And it's not just a UK, it's not just the Welsh phenomenon, it is UK wide, isn't it?
Yes, this it is.
It's that popular thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you mind introducing that song for me? Because I'd love to play it and just come back.
Oh, the Eriske Love Lilt.
Yeah.
Okay, this is, yeah, it's a traditional song. But this was the first time that we'd been in the studio. And this is a song I'd sung, of course, as a 15-year-old, but I'd forgotten all about it. But it's weird how a certain song resonates with the whole nation. And I got so many emails from people saying, I haven't sung that since I was at school, you know, from people of a certain age. And I think the whole album just took people back to maybe a happier, easier time.
Here it is now, Ella Jones with Eriske Love Lilt. You're on Joy 94.9. Back with more in a minute. Just beautiful. That's Ella Jones with Eriske Love Lilt. You're on Joy 94.9 on the Music Hour with Virginia and Dee.
Yes.
Ella, we were just talking over you while you were singing.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, all of you. I was singing it live as well.
And you were just saying, did you do it at the Albert Hall, did you say?
Yeah, I sang it live for the first time in the Albert Hall. And you know the second verse when the boy is singing, little Aled, we call him. what are you laughing at?
Sounds like you're referring to your member.
Do you know what? I've been advertising this album now for over a year.
Nobody said that.
So congratulations.
You need a room full of lesbians to tell you that. Yeah.
Honestly, that's fantastic. That's made my whole trip to Melbourne.
Right.
Every time I've said little Aled in a year and a half, I've actually thought little member.
Nobody's been in my soul enough.
When you come back, we'll have it knitted for you.
Thank you.
Little big Aled.
Yes.
Or big Aled.
But I was there looking and you're on stage and you see all the boxes lit up and all the memories of the time, because I first performed in the Albert Hall probably when I was about 11, and all those memories were just hitting me like wave after wave after wave, and I felt really emotional and I had to pinch myself to put it together really.
Now, your parents are still with us, hopefully.
They are, yes.
And so what do they feel about this?
They love it because it's sort of drawing a line under it, really. You know, it's they were incredibly proud. I think the happiest day of my dad's life, though, was when I turned a certain age that I could go to all these things on my own and he didn't have to come with me. honestly, it's true. They've loved it. And that's what they've loved, how the nation, I suppose, and also even Australia have taken it to their hearts. You know, I still pinch myself.
We've got some very exciting news and we're breaking it here on Joy 94.9, which is that you have announced an Australian tour.
Yes, I have.
Later this year.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, you're back. And
only
actually
one person is clapping in the room, but I'll take it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Betty.
Yeah. Hooray for Betty.
You're going to perform at our beautiful Melbourne Recital Centre. Have you checked it out?
I did earlier on today. It is incredible.
Yeah, did you open your lungs in there?
I can't let you know that. no, I didn't. Right. I was a good boy. But it's stunning.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning. I'm going to be singing in the Melbourne Recital Centre, isn't it?
Yep.
On the 4th of October.
4th of October. But before that, you're at the City Recital Hall in Angel Place in Sydney.
Which is also lovely. And then QPAC on the 6th.
Yes, and then up to QPAC on the 6th of October. That's a pretty quick tour. One, two, three.
Yeah,
off you
that's
go.
It. Bish, bash, bosh.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to hang around actually after that and do some TV and promo and stuff as well. So,
but you've got an Australasian connection. You were saying that the orchestra that plays on this recording is actually a Kiwi.
Yeah, New Zealand, the New Zealand Sinfonietta. What happens is that my MD, who I've been with through all my albums as a man. Mm. Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Why did I come out with that?
You leave little Aled out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been with me for the last 16, 17 years, whatever. He married a Kiwi, so he's out there. We get together halfway in LA to record the vocals, and then when I tour here, he comes and tours with me as well.
So you're not going to New Zealand?
I would love to go to New Zealand next year, but we're not this year. It's just here, back here in October.
Right. Now, everybody knows if you want to kiss ass to an Australian, you've got to pick and sing an Australian song. And we've got some really bad ones. Have you become familiar with any of our bush folk songy kind of choral numbers?
No, I haven't.
You don't want to do a rendition of Waltzing Matilda?
I might on the next album.
Do it.
Especially for you. Yeah. I've actually got a track that's only ever been released in Australia years and years and years and years ago. And my boss at the record company at Universal Classics has basically given me this track to record on my next album, which will be probably a one-voice trilogy. So we're going to bring it to an end with a Sacred album. But I can tell you what, it is unbelievable. It's never been done just this once before.
All three voices your own?
Yes, all three voices.
Aled, little Aled. Mm-hmm. And teeny tiny Aled.
And then it'll be 90-year-old Aled. This is going to carry on going forever.
That's right.
I'm going to be coming in here. Dead Aled.
Aled from the other side.
That's right.
Oh, if I can do that. Yeah. Wow.
I will tell you, just by way of contrast, so that you could just see how your life is contrasting with mine, I had to go to my parents' house to clean out your shit from the garage.
Okay, I'm glad you said the garage then.
Yeah. And had to empty out this box. And I found a memento of my 15-year-old self, which is a journal.
Okay.
And it pretty much just had written, I love Michael Jackson 1,000 times. So not so much the gem that you found.
No. I think you should publish that book, though.
That's right. If I ran into my 15-year-old self, what about you? If you ran into your 15-year-old self, do you think you'd be a little verging with her?
No, I don't think so.
No. I didn't
What
have
were you
it.
Like when you were 15?
Oh, dear. I can't even remember back then.
Okay.
I think I was just pretty much smoking a lot of dope, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks for being so honest.
We all hit different points.
We all hit different points.
So maybe you and I were very similar when we were 15 then.
Some of us have not peaked yet. But when your testes dropped, you really came into your own.
Listening to a lot of Jackson Brown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. You had some appreciation. Yeah, exactly.
What was your favourite Michael Jackson song?
Oh, I loved She's Out of My Life.
Beautiful.
Because that was a tortured thing. And here's the weird thing. We had King Charles Cavalier dogs. And I thought when he says, Why was I so cavalier? I was really confused because I just thought that meant a cute dog.
I also did a version.
Idiot.
I sang Heal the World on television, and my gran said, why are you singing Heal the Welsh?
Oh.
Like, make them a better race. You know,
oh, dear, dear, dear. Alad Jones is touring Melbourne, Australia on the 2nd of October at the Melbourne Recital Centre. You cannot buy tickets as yet.
You can. Fourth, it is.
Fourth?
Second in Sydney.
Sydney.
Yeah.
Good job you're here. Little Alad's paying attention.
Yes, he is.
gross. But you can listen to him straight away with his album One Voice, which is available on iTunes and through all of the major record stores.
It is. And I have to go home tomorrow.
Oh. Where is home? Are you in
London?
London.
Yeah, London.
I'm very disappointed that your speaking voice is not very Welsh.
It gets more Welsh when it's North Walian, because South Walian is like that. You know? North Walian is kind of more as I am speaking now.
All right.
So not so pronounced.
I like them better in the South, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Well, I like them better in Sydney.
Oh, two shades. Oh, brilliant. Alad Jones, thank you so much for coming in.
This has been really good fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again.
And down the mountainside, the summer's gone, and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I must bide.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.